Good evening, Zimbabwe. This is Change Radio News. Today is Thursday, 20 November 2025. The news is read by Divine Nambira. Here are the news headlines. Paul Mwasha dies. Biti labels Mnangagwa government greedy and corrupt. And Chief Chikwaka accuses foreign miners of displacing villages and damaging land. And now for the news in detail. The African Apostolic Church has announced the death of its long-serving leader, Archbishop Paul Mwasha. He passed away on Thursday, 20 November 2025. Bishop J. Mwasha confirmed the news, expressing regret and offering spiritual comfort to congregants, saying the church remains united with him in spirit. Mwasha led one of Zimbabwe's largest indigenous churches for decades, guiding thousands of followers, and leaves behind a significant legacy. Funeral details will be announced in due course. Opposition leader Tendai Biti has fiercely criticized Emmerson Mnangagwa's government, accusing it of greed, corruption, and turning Zimbabwe into a ragtag extractive entity. Marking 8 years since the 2017 coup, Biti says conditions have worsened and many citizens now regret supporting the takeover. In a statement on X, he accused government officials of looting gold and lithium. He also condemned the opaque Mutapa Fund, saying it has placed state enterprises beyond parliamentary oversight. He cited the Prosecutor General's report, which states that the country loses over $2 billion per year to corruption. Biti also claimed the Treasury is now run like a tuck shop, serving politically connected tenderpreneurs. Mashonaland East Senator Chief Chikwaka has accused some foreign miners of displacing villagers, destroying livelihoods, and leaving land damaged without compensation. Speaking in the Senate, he said miners are operating without proper oversight and relocating families to unsuitable areas. Deputy Mines Minister Caleb Makwiranzou stated that mining companies are required to conduct environmental impact assessments, and the new mines bill will protect landowners. But Chief Chikwaka insisted no EIAs are being done, accusing miners of moving into fields, drilling, and leaving land degraded. Citizens spokesperson Promise Mukwananzi says government nepotism in awarding tenders to politically connected but incompetent companies is being exposed by poor workmanship, particularly on road projects. In a post on X, Mukwananzi said a bridge built just 5 months ago in Chiweshe has already been washed away by recent rains, calling it evidence of shoddy construction. He said those who raise such concerns are dismissed as talkative, instead of government addressing what he described as fundamental failures in public infrastructure projects. Two ZANU-PF members, Mike Chimombe and Moses Mpofu, convicted in a $7.7 million fraud over a gold supply tender, failed to appear for pre-sentencing yesterday after their lawyers were absent. Justice Bisirai Ukwenda postponed the case to November 26, noting that the written judgment the defense requested is available on YouTube. The state says Chimombe and Mpofu submitted falsified tax and NASA documents for a non-existent company, Black Deck Livestock and Poultry, securing a tender that cost the government over $7.7 million. Parliament's debate on the ZIMSEC amendment bill has seen strong calls for gender equality in lawmaking. Wange Central MP Daniel Molokele led the push, urging that all bills meet constitutional gender equality standards. He said gender balance is not optional, but a requirement for every law passed by the National Assembly. Molokele also proposed that leadership positions in statutory bodies alternate between men and women in line with sections 17, 56, and 80 of the Constitution. Lawmakers have intensified calls for comprehensive ZIMSEC reforms, with several MPs urging tougher penalties for those involved in leaking examination papers. The debate highlights growing concern over exam integrity and the need to protect the credibility of Zimbabwe's education system. Here are some of the views from Parliament.
In 1996, just 2 years after this bill was enacted, the time that the exams were still written, ZIMSEC in association with Cambridge. One minister's daughter was implicated in leaking of exams. The minister resigned in shame, and sadly, we lost the minister by committing suicide. Though it's a sad story, it speaks to the gravity of leakages and how education was valued. Several decades later, the exams are leaked and shared like confetti and without recourse. It is unfair to think that by solving problems at the tail end, by penalizing those at the tail end, we have come up with a panacea to leaking of exams. I talk of this because the majority of cases happen at the source. It is important that as we speak about the whole management of exams, we plug the leaks on the entire chain. It is, the bill is mum in terms of what happens to those at the printing press. As this is done, it is important that the bill seeks to have equal measure of penalties, and penalties are targeted more at individuals rather than institutions. Inasmuch as the administration of exams is not included, it is important to think of that item writer. It is important to think about, in the same way that we are worried about leak, it is important that the management of exams speaks highly about the one that invigilates the exam. Madam Speaker, it is important that further than invigilation, it is important that it also speaks to the distribution of the cost of the exam, so that there is much thought about the ones that mark, those that moderate, even those that go the extra mile to make it a watertight process. Madam Speaker, as I conclude, I extol the minister that through this bill, as this may be the only opportunity to amend this bill in the near future, he thinks about how the payments are done. Payments to the teacher, payments to the invigilator, payments to those that mark the exam. It's important that it's adequate to motivate them, and it's also important that it is paid timeously. I shall submit.
The nomination court will sit at Tredgold Magistrate Court in Bulawayo today to receive papers from candidates for the Nkulumani by-election. The seat fell vacant following the death of CCC MP in a car accident last month. Esther Zita, the late MP's widow, has submitted her nomination. ZANU-PF's Freedom Murechu is also contesting to reclaim the seat, which has been held by the opposition for 2 decades. Lieutenant General Emmanuel Matatu has been promoted to General and appointed commander of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces effective 21 November 2025, following the retirement of General Philip Valerio Sibanda. Major General Asha Walter Tafumanei has been promoted to Lieutenant General and will serve as commander of the Zimbabwe National Army from 25 November 2025. The appointments have drawn criticism, with some questioning the retirement process as Matatu, aged 73, replaces 71-year-old Sibanda. The six children who died in the Makado bus disaster in South Africa were repatriated to Zimbabwe yesterday by Dove's funeral parlor. They arrived at Beitbridge border post in a convoy of eight hearses after DNA tests delayed their return for 3 weeks. The children were escorted by Zimbabwe embassy staff, the Civic Protection Unit, and the South African Police Service. A memorial service was held at Dove's Beitbridge, and the bodies are now being taken to Mount Darwin, Bikita, Berengwa, Rusape, and Gokwe for burial. Health experts in Harare are sounding the alarm over rising cases of drug-resistant diseases in Zimbabwe. At a major conference on antimicrobial resistance, specialists called for a national crackdown on the misuse of antibiotics in both humans and livestock. Public health expert Tapiwa Mhlanga warns that AMR is already harming patient outcomes. Meanwhile, veterinary officials urged tighter regulation and better farmer education to curb the overuse of drugs in agriculture. Experts concluded that without urgent action, these superbugs pose a severe threat to the nation's health and food security. Power cuts disrupted operations at President Emmerson Mnangagwa's Monomotapa offices in central Harare on Tuesday. A video circulating on social media shows the boardroom in darkness as Information Minister Jenfan Muswere was due to address a post-cabinet briefing. The building also houses the offices of the President, Foreign Affairs, and Information Ministries. And in news from local communities, two men have been arrested in Eastleigh, Harare for attempting to sell a hyena nose. Andrew Makusele from Goromonzi and John Jelester from Kwazana were caught while looking for buyers. CID spokesperson Detective Inspector Rachel Muteweri confirmed the arrests and warned against the illegal killing of endangered species, saying wildlife must be protected as part of the national heritage. The pair face charges under Zimbabwe's parks and wildlife laws. Bulawayo Mayor David Coulthard walked out of a council meeting yesterday, calling councillors shameless and a disgrace after they approved a contract extension for town clerk Christopher Dube until 2030. Dube's extension, which aligns with the new retirement age of 70 under Statutory Instrument 198 of 2024, was granted despite Coulthard's opposition, dealing a political blow to the mayor. In entertainment news, Chimurenga music legend Thomas Mukanya Mavhumo will perform in Johannesburg at the Newton Music Factory on 6 December, responding to calls from his South African fans. The 80-year-old, who is nearing retirement after 50 years in music, also plans a farewell concert in Zimbabwe early next year. In international news, South Africa says it is ready to secure the first G20 Leaders Summit to be hosted in Africa. The acting police minister and national police commissioner addressed officers in Soweto on Wednesday, urging them to act firmly against any disturbances while upholding the constitution. Commissioner Fanima Semomala said the country is counting on police to ensure a smooth summit. Protests will only be allowed in designated areas near the Johannesburg venue, and police warn that anyone who defies the rules will face the full force of the law. A hard lockdown around the summit site begins on Friday and runs until Monday. And finally, in sports news, the Premier Soccer League says four teams will be relegated at the end of the 2025 season. The league confirmed that discussions with ZIFA are ongoing as both parties work toward a long-term solution on the relegation framework. And now, to end this news bulletin, here are the headlines once again. Mpongwaja dies. BT labels Mnangagwa government greedy and corrupt. And Chief Chikwaka accuses foreign miners of displacing villages and damaging land. And that concludes our bulletin for the day. We thank you for listening. From myself, Divine Nambira, and the entire team at Change Radio, we wish you a blessed night.